Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this midweek video. As always, we appreciate you tuning in and being part of the ministry when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, as well as when we create content for you here midweek. If you haven't already done so, if you could consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry, we would certainly appreciate that. I want to get right into the topic for this video, and we are going to be looking at a question related to the book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word. And the question is, are for so much, and for as much verbally equivalent in Isaiah 8:6? Okay. So the standard 1769 King James reading in Isaiah 8:6 is for as much. At the beginning of Isaiah 8:6. So here's a screenshot from Blaney's 1769 edition, and you can see right here, for as much. If I jump over into Blue Letter Bible, we can look at Isaiah 8:6 and see the same spelling convention here, for as much in Isaiah 8:6 as the modern form. Okay. Now, in contrast, the 1611 read for so much in Isaiah 8:6, as we can see right here. All right. So we've got one word for as much, and we have three words for so much in the 1611. So the question is, are these readings verbally equivalent? Is the 1611 has three individual words, whereas the 1769 has one word in a different form. All right. So again, for so much versus for as much. The question is, are these verbally equivalent? And did the 1611 contain a printer's error when it said for so much? That's what we're going to be looking at in this particular video. So in order to determine those things, we need to go back and look at some history here. Okay, so let's begin by looking at a 1535 Coverdale Bible, which, as most of you know, was the first complete English Bible. And when we look at this, Isaiah 8:6 in Coverdale's Bible read for so much as in the 1611. So here's Coverdale's Bible. You can see right here, for so much. Much is spelled slightly differently, but that is the same idea as the 1611, for so much, three words in 1611, three words in Coverdale's Bible from 1535, okay? Now, in 1537, Matthews and the 1539 Great Bible both followed Coverdale by reading for so much in Isaiah 8:6, okay? So here we have Matthews, 1537, for so much. And here we have the Great Bible from 1539, for so much. So, Coverdale, Matthews, and Great, they all read for so much in Isaiah 8:6. Okay. Now, we see a difference when we get to 1560 Geneva Bible. It read because in Isaiah 8:6. So here's a screenshot from a 1560 Geneva Bible. Notice because this people. Okay. Instead of for so much as this people, for so much as the people in Matthews, and then Coverdale again, for so much as the people. So Geneva is going to change for so much to because in 1560. All right. Moving forward in time from there, we have the 1568. This is the first edition of the Bishop's Bible. And then notice a change here again, for so much, i.e. one word in Isaiah 8:6. So here's a screenshot from the 1568 Bishop's. And we can see for so much as one word, okay? So it's interesting. So now we have three different conventions. The majority are following for so much, three words. Geneva has something totally different in because. The first iteration of the Bishop's Bible has for so much now as one word, not as three separate words, okay? Now the 1602 Bishop's, which served as the base text for the AV of 1611, reinstated the old three-word wording of for so much in Isaiah 8:6. So here's a screenshot from a 1602 Bishop's, and you can see that it's three words again, for so much versus the 1568 Bishop's, which had it as one word, for so much. All right. So there's changes that are being made to this. All right. So the King James translators retained the 1602 Bishop's reading for so much, three words, in the AV of 1611. So here's the 1611 again, for so much, and we can see that it is the same as the 1602 Bishop's, for so much, three separate words, not one word, okay? Now, let's kind of take stock of where we're at so far in this little investigation. A form of for so much, okay, either as one word, as in the 1568 bishops, or three words, as in Coverdale, Matthews, Great, 1602 bishops, and 1611, was the standard English reading in Isaiah 8:6 during the 16th and 17th centuries. Okay? Only the Geneva broke with this practice by reading because this people instead of for so much as this people or some form of that. Okay? So by the time you get to 1611, the preponderance of the evidence suggests that for so much, either as one word, as in the 1568 bishops, or as three separate words, as in Coverdale, Matthews, Great, the 1602 bishops, and the 1611, was the reading that people were familiar with in English at that point. Okay. Now, a 1616 Roman font folio edition published at London followed the 1611 convention by reading for so much as three separate words in Isaiah 8:6. So here's a London folio. This is Herbert catalog number 349, and we can see three separate words here, for so much, at Isaiah 8:6. Okay? Now, this convention of three words, for so much, in, that as stated in the 1611, and now again in a 1616 folio, the following early London printings follow the folio editions of 1611 and 1616 for reading for so much. So, a 1612 London quarto, a 1612 London octavo, a 1613 London octavo, and a 1613 London folio. They are all reading for so much as three separate words, as in the 1611, as in a 1616 folio, as I've just demonstrated. Okay. Now, the first edition of the AV that we have been able to locate, now there's some that I haven't seen, I'm in the process of locating between 1612 and 1617, okay? So the first edition of the AV that we've been able to locate that reads differently from those noted above is a 1607 London duodecimo Herbert catalog 355, which reads for so much as one word. So here is a screenshot of this 1617 London duodecimo, where we now see for so much in the form of one word instead of three words, okay? So by this point, by 1617, there have been multiple editions in different sizes of the King James that have read, that have had it as three separate words, which matches and fits the preponderance of the evidence for what we see before 1611, as I demonstrated earlier in this video, okay? So this is the same convention. So one word for so much. This is the same convention used in the original 1568 bishops noted above. Now, is this a correction of a printer's error or an alternative spelling convention? For me, this is an alternative spelling convention. There is not a printer's error in the 1611 because you can go back and trace all of the historical printings before that and see that the vast majority of them had for so much as three separate words, okay? So this 1617 duodecimo edition coming out of London is the first one that we know of currently right now that makes the convention change between for so much as three words to for so much as one word, okay? Now, it is the case that the 1629 and 1638 Cambridge folio editions follow this London edition from 1617 in reading for so much as one word in Isaiah 8:6. So here's 1629 Cambridge folio, you can see for so much. And here's 1638 Cambridge folio, you can see for so much. Okay? Now, this seems to have become the standard reading until a 1616 London octavo edition, which first introduced the modern reading as for so much in Isaiah 8:6. So, understand what's going on. Up until 1616, a form of for so much was the standard reading, either as three words, as in the 1611, the 1616, a bunch of the ones that I mentioned earlier in the list, until we get to 1617 with this duodecimo that takes for so much three words and renders it as one word, okay? And that seems to become the standard reading. Cambridge accepts that reading in 1638 and 1629, and it's not until 1616 that we can say so far that the modern form of the reading for as much instead of for so much shows up for the first time in Isaiah 8:6. So here is a screenshot of a 1660 London octavo, Herbert catalog number 669, and we can see right here at verse 6, for as much. Okay? So it's the first time that we see this reading, 1660. So, is for so much verbally equivalent with for as much three words, or for so much three words, or for so much one word? Okay? Now, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, the adverb for so much is obsolete and equals the adjective for as much in meaning. So here is a screenshot from the OED website, for so much, okay? And we can see that this is obsolete in its adverb form, and it equals for as much, according to the data that the OED is reporting, okay? So, for so much survives in one verse in the standard 1769 text of the King James Bible in Luke 19:9. So there is one instance in a King James Bible still to this day where you will find the word for so much. It survives in one verse in the standard 1769 text of the King James Bible, and that is in Luke 19:9. So here is a screenshot of 1769, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house for so much. So that is still the same reading. Let's go to the Blue Letter Bible and type in Luke 19:9. And we can see that this is still, in fact, the reading. Okay? Luke 19:9, here it is. For so much right there in Luke 19:9. Okay? So, for so much survives in one verse. Sorry for the double INs here. We can get rid of this while I'm talking easily enough, I believe. So it survives in one verse in the standard 1769 King James text in Luke 19:9. Now, the rationale as to why the obsolete for so much was retained in Luke 19:9 while being replaced elsewhere by the modern form for as much is not known. I cannot tell you the exact reason why in Isaiah 8:6, for so much was replaced with for as much, and why in Luke 19:9, for so much was retained and not replaced by the more modern form for as much. I don't know the answer to that, okay? But either way, it doesn't matter. There is no substantive doctrinal difference as the words are equivalent in meaning. They are verbally equivalent. For so much, either as three words, as one word, or for as much as one word, are verbally equivalent. There's no doctrinal difference. They are verbally equivalent in meaning, despite not having verbatim identicality of wording. Okay? So throughout this document and this video, we have noted two changes in the printed history of the King James text. Right. First, a change from for so much, three words, to for so much, one word. This is not the correction of a printer's error, but a change in convention, i.e., non-substantive change in spelling and orthography. There's not a printer's errors here. There's not a mistake. You know that because you can go back and look at the entire history of the printed English Bible before 1611. There's a non-substantive change here in spelling and orthography, even with going from for so much as three words to for so much as one word, okay? Likewise, the change from for so much to for as much was not the correction of a printer's error, but the choice to substitute a word with equivalent meaning in a place of a word that was considered to have become obsolete. It's not a substantive change. They are verbally equivalent, despite not having verbatim identicality of wording. So there is not a problem here for the printed history of the King James text. The words are verbally equivalent, despite not having verbatim identicality. Okay? So, for as much, for so much, and I should have for, no, I'm sorry. This is a mistake here. For so much, three words. For so much, one word. And for as much are all verbally equivalent, despite not possessing verbatim identicality, as I just said a moment ago. Okay? Now, while these three expressions all have the same meaning, they differ in the number of words in the expression, which would impact word counts for those desiring to make numerological arguments. So there's a lot of argumentation in the pro-King James space right now that is based upon numerological word counting. And my point here is these forms of the word, for so much, three words, for so much, one word, for as much, one word, okay, they're all verbally equivalent, even though they're not possessing verbatim identicality, but they would impact word counts for these folks that are wanting to count words. And this is one of my sort of objections to that is, well, first of all, what verse in the Bible, what verse in a King James Bible tells you to do this kind of counting, what software to use, what to count, what not to count, which edition of the King James Bible that you should use in doing the counting, and if it seems to me that if the word counts aren't going to work in every edition of the King James Bible, then I fail to see how identifying these so-called patterns is proving anything related to the King James text. And so here's another example of where the King James text does not have verbatim identicality of wording. There is verbally equivalent wording, but it would impact some of this number counting, word counting, and so forth. And this is not the only example that would impact these things, where in the 1611 words, sometimes there's two words that have now become one word. In this case, in this video, we've seen three words that have now become one word. And if the numbers don't add up in every edition of a King James Bible, then how do we know that this is sufficient validation for the King James Bible in the way and in the manner that those making numerological arguments are asserting? So those are a couple of my thoughts regarding number one, verbatim identicality and verbal equivalence, as well as the printed history of the King James text, as well as some of the numerological arguments that are being advanced in our current time in the pro-King James space. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never relied exclusively on His death for you on the cross, His shed blood on the cross of Calvary, for your total complete payment of your sin and His resurrection from the dead, you need to trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Stop relying on your works, your performance, your law-keeping, your church-going, your tithing, whatever it is that you're relying and trusting in, apart from relying exclusively on what Jesus Christ did for you. Trust His death for your sin on the cross, His shed blood, and His resurrection from the dead as the only total complete payment for your sin. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.